As we consider our ways with the election coming up, a culmination of many months of campaigning and many months of television, radio advertising, newspaper advertising, and it's been the focus of a great deal of attention, a focus of a great deal of discussion, and now it's all coming to the final few days, and I just pray as we just finished our prayer that God would intercede, that God would touch the hearts and lives of people even as they walk into the voting booth, even as they pick up the pencil to mark their ballot, that he would touch their hearts and intercede in this election, that his person, his people will be elected, not just for the office of presidency, but for local, state, and regional offices, for issues such as the homosexual marriage ban that is being proposed in the state of California, Proposition 8, and many other such important laws all across the nation. And I just ask you, brothers and sisters, to be in prayer with me and to stand in the gap for this nation, to stand in the gap for this nation as we stand before a holy God and ask him to bless this nation. And I think he can only do that, it's safe to say, reading the Bible, I think he can only do that if we keep his commandments and if we attempt to be righteous and holy. So with that in mind, we're going to look at a few passages of scripture here today, and I'm going to start off with a few Proverbs. There's so much wisdom in Proverbs. If you have your Bible, you can turn there to Proverbs 14. There's so much wisdom in Proverbs that we can learn from the wisdom of Solomon. And of course, you know, the history of the Jews in Israel was that they were a stubborn and a rebellious people, and God continued to bless them, and he continued to shower them with his grace and his mercy, and he led them into the promised land, and he blessed them, he gave them a king, David, and then David's son Solomon built the temple and was what was considered to be the wisest person on the face of the earth and also the wealthiest person and also the man with the most wisdom. And so Solomon wrote the Proverbs to educate us and to instruct those who came after him. And there's just a wealth of blessings and wisdom in the Proverbs. We're going to start off here in Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness, Solomon says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And as we contemplate our position with God and our place before God, we know, God, that you want us to be a righteous people. And so we just stand before you this day, and we ask you to bless this nation, continue to bless it. And I just thank you for the remnant that's out there listening today. I thank you for the remnant that tunes in each and every Sunday, and not only to listen to me, but other preachers, and to be part of the fellowship. And if you're not a part of a fellowship, I encourage you to be, because God says righteousness exalts a nation. And if we want America to stay in its exalted position, we're going to have to be a righteous people. And Solomon goes on to say, sin is a reproach to any people. In other words, sin holds back or it retards any people, and it's a scourge against them. It's a mark against them, and it's a reproach, or it brings shame and disgrace upon them. And so, God, I just pray that we continue to seek you, that you call us, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. And he's not talking so much there about the United States, although I do believe the United States has been a blessed and has been ordained by God. It's a very unique place. As I've traveled around the world, I understand that the United States is a very unique place, and there's few places like it on the earth, maybe no other nation like it on the earth, except for possibly Israel. It's been blessed by God, and so we need to stay committed to being a righteous nation. We need to stay committed to exalting Jehovah God as our God, and stay committed to helping the poor and helping the alien, and stay committed to sending out missionaries, and staying committed to reaching out to the lost. And God will see our efforts, and he will hear our prayers. And when God hears our prayers, he promises in 2 Chronicles 7:14, he promises that he will hear our prayers from heaven, that he will forgive our sin, and that he will heal our land. And we know that we need healing in our land. We know that we need healing in our broken families. We know that we need healing, not specifically physical healing. I'm not talking about that, although we do need physical healing, and I think that physical healing comes from spiritual healing, that the two come together. And I think that God wants us to be physically healed, but he's talking primarily about, you know, knitting our soul back together and binding up our wounds, binding up our brokenness. And when he does that, when God binds up your brokenness, well, you're healed in a way that, you know, your physical body benefits. Your physical body rejoices as your soul and as your spirit are bound up and healed. Your physical body rejoices in that healing also. Well, I'm going to look here at Proverbs 15:29. It says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous." And so I ask you, brothers and sisters, in these last few days before the election, to be in prayer and just cry out for mercy for this nation. Cry out for mercy for this nation, that God would show favor, that God would continue to put his hand of grace on this nation, that God would continue to bless us, even in spite of our stubbornness and our disobedience, in spite of our rebellion. And yet we know that there is a remnant here in America. There is a remnant that is praying. There is a remnant that is fasting. There's a remnant that is on their knees. And so we just ask you, God, to hear their prayers, honor their prayers, because you tell us, God, that you are far from the wicked, but you hear the prayers of the righteous. And so, righteous saints, I just ask you to continue to pray. Continue to pray for people's hearts to be turned. Continue to pray for the Lord to have mercy on this great nation. Proverbs 29:2, "When the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, the people groan." Let me repeat that. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Lord, I just pray that people will contemplate on this and meditate on this, that the people that we put into office, it is very, very important who we mark our ballots for. It's very important, and it's not just a routine thing where we're just voting for somebody because they're of a certain political party. And I have great respect for both parties, all the parties. There's several, but two primary parties. But Lord, I just feel sorry for anybody who just goes in there and votes just for Republicans or just for Democrats or whatever party they seem to be more affiliated with. I just pray that people will not do that. I pray that people will understand that you ordained government. You tell us in Romans 13 that you ordained government, that you are the one who is in authority over all who are in office. You are the one who is in authority over all nations, that you are the one who is in authority, and you take down kingdoms, you take down nations, you take down kings, and you also raise them up. And so as we contemplate that, we know that when a wicked man has been placed into office, either through the people's complacency or the people's vote, that the people groan, that the people don't benefit, that the people are not blessed. But when the righteous increase, when the righteous reign, the people rejoice. And of course, we've had some great leaders in this country in the past, and we've no doubt we'll have great leaders in this country in the future. But Lord, let us take very seriously the right and the privilege that we have to go into that ballot box and vote for who we want to lead this country, to vote for who we want to stand up and represent us, because it's very important. It's very important for us. It's very important for the nations around the world, as the United States is such a powerful nation. It's important for our children and our grandchildren. What kind of destiny are we leaving them? What kind of life are we leaving them? Are we just going to burden them with a mountain of insurmountable debt and a mountain of insurmountable moral decay, and it would be just absolute chaos to be here alive in America in the years to come? It would be chaos to be alive in America and try to speak the word of God here, and the freedoms that we've known for 200 years, are they slowly going to be taken away from us to the point where Christians are going to be silenced, and Christians are going to be running for their life, and Christians are going to be defending their lives from rocks being thrown at them or jail sentences being handed to them? And so it's very important that we vote for people that have the values of God, for people that understand that God's will be done and wants to be done here on this earth as it is in heaven. Well, Proverbs 29:18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. Let me repeat that. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. One of the things that has made America great over the years is that we are basically a people that respect the rule of law. We are people that respect the police and the governmental authorities that are put in authority over us, and we have a nation of people who are generally, for the most part, law-abiding and attempt to get along well with each other and attempt to respect each other's rights, their property rights, their religious rights, their freedoms that have been granted to each, that we respect other people's right to exercise their freedoms. And so the opposite of that, of course, is that where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. And Lord, we're seeing more and more that young people have no vision for their future because of the brokenness in their life, because of the brokenness in their families, and divorce and child abuse and neglect and abandonment and all of these issues that are now front and center in the lives of young people here in America, that they have no vision for their life. They have no hope for their future. They have no hope for their destiny or walking out their destiny and fulfilling their dreams. And so it's very easy for them to fall into the snares of Satan. It's very easy for them to fall into the traps of drug addiction and alcohol addiction and sexual immorality, pornography, homosexuality, all of these demonic behaviors that just derail them and set them back, and they become a lawless and unrestrained person. And when people are unrestrained, you can't put enough police and you can't put enough people out there to guard every street corner in America. The discipline for people to be law-abiding has to come from within, and the discipline for people to honor other people's rights and other people's property, it basically has to come from within. And so when there is no restraint, when the people have no restraint that comes from within themselves because they have no respect for the law, well, then things get very chaotic and very dangerous, and people start to harm one another, and people start to exploit and take advantage of one another. And so when you have that situation, when the people are unrestrained, then chaos just feeds on chaos, and brokenness feeds on brokenness, and after a while you have a situation where you just have a total anarchy and a disrespect for other people's rights, a disrespect for other people's property and privileges, and we certainly don't want to go there. It's already far enough, so we just ask you, Lord, to give the people vision, to give the people hope. Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I know the plans that I have for you, to plan with a hope and a future. And so, God, I thank you for that hope and a future that you've given us, to give us rejoicing, to give us prosperity, not just in a material way, but prosperity in that we can know you and exercise our rights, exercise our desire to worship you, to meet together, to gather together, to express our viewpoints peacefully. And we thank you for that, that we've had this in America up until this point. Well, if you have your Bible still, well, I turn to Ezekiel 9, and we touched on this last week, and I'm going to finish up here today as we once again contemplate the election coming up. In Ezekiel 9, God sends executioners out over the city. He tells Ezekiel, draw near, O executioners of the city, each with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his shattering weapon in his hand. And among them was a certain man clothed in linen, with a writing case at his loins. And they went in and stood beside the bronze altar. And I believe the man clothed in linen, it could very easily be the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Anyway, the Lord tells these executioners, go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations which are being committed in its midst. And I just pray that there are many in America who are groaning and sighing over the abominations which they see going on in America today. And that is really what we attempt to do with government, isn't it? Isn't it to enforce the laws and to and to pass good laws to protect those who need protection. And so that is what we attempt to do in elections, is to put people in office and power who will exemplify the values of an almighty God. And so back to the scripture in Ezekiel. Ezekiel says, God says, go through the city after him and strike to the executioners. He's saying, go through and strike and have no pity. Do not spare. Slay old men, young men, maidens, little children, women, and do not touch any man whom is the mark, and you shall start from my sanctuary. So they started with the elders who were before the temple. And he said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. Thus they went out and struck down the people in a city. Then it came about, as they were striking, and I alone was left, that I fell on my face and cried out, saying, alas, Lord God, art thou destroying the whole remnant of Israel by pouring out thy wrath on Jerusalem? Then he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is very, very great, and the land is filled with blood, and the city is full of perversion. For they say, the Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see. But as for me, God says, my eye will have no pity, nor shall I spare, but I shall bring their conduct upon their heads. And as we look at America today, we see a land that is full of blood, and I think God here is referring to abortion. He says in Genesis 9, 5, and 6 that when blood is spilt, that it must be repaid, the blood must be repaid. And he told the sons of Noah, go out and replenish the earth, multiply and replenish the earth. But by when any man, his blood, his innocent blood is spilt, that by man his blood must be repaid. And so that when God looks across this nation, he sees the blood of innocents being spilt. He sees the blood of innocents many times, people just for expediency and for material gain and for birth control are spilling the blood of the innocents. They're taking the lives of children who have no way to defend or protect themselves. And so God sees a land here in America that's full of bloodshed, and he sees a land that is full of blood, and he has to make a correction. He has to make a compensation for that. He has to recompense that onto our heads, just as he did here in Ezekiel's time. He said, I shall bring their conduct upon their heads. And so the land is filled with blood, and the city is full of perversion. That's the other thing that the Lord says about Judah and Jerusalem. And America, as we look at it today, is also full of perversion. And we see homosexual marriage being pushed on Americans from three different states now. And I just pray that the Proposition 8 will pass in California that reestablishes marriage between one man and one woman and takes away the rights of homosexuals to marry each other, which is in a direct opposition and perversion of God's law. God says in Leviticus 18:22, he said, for a man to lie with a man is an abomination, and for a woman to lie with a woman is an abomination. And so I just pray that as Americans go into the polls to vote on issues regarding homosexual marriage and regarding these types of issues all across the nation, that they would understand the heart of God, that he hates no one, that he wants all to be redeemed, that he wants all to come to know his saving grace. But there are some things that God says, if you stay in an unrepentant state, if you do not repent before me, and if you stay in that state of rebellion and that state of sin, just as God told Ezekiel, he said, the sin of Judah, the iniquity, the sin of Israel and Judah is very great. And so also he looks at America and he says, America, I see your sin. It is very great. I love you, and I intend to reprove you. I intend to discipline you, because a father who does not discipline his children does not love them. And so God sees America and he says, I have to reprove and I have to discipline because I love you. And so discipline is coming, brothers and sisters, and I just pray that you get ready for it. I pray that you get on your knees and repent of any sin in your life. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray you invite him in right this day, that you get involved in a fellowship. Get your Bible out and study it. Start praying, start studying your word, and join a fellowship and start walking in the Spirit. And if enough people do that and cry out for mercy on this nation, God will hear our prayers. He will forgive our sin and he will heal our land. I just pray that for you today. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. See you next week.